Chapter 1. London, Spring 1890. There were several reasons why I fell in love with Eddie Hardacre, but seeing a painter put the finishing touches to E. Hardacre, watchmaker, on the shop front that had been in my family's hands for over a century, I couldn't remember any of them. My former fiancé was worse than a pirate. At least pirates were loyal to their crew. Loyalty was a bartering tool Eddie employed whenever he needed to gain someone's trust. Someone like my poor, foolish, dead father. And me. It was time to tell Eddie what I thought of him. I'd kept my anger bottled inside for long enough, and if I didn't let it out, I would never heal. Besides, now was the perfect time, as a customer inspected one of Father's watches. Eddie loathed public displays of emotion. I would give him the most public of emotional displays that I could. I tugged on my jacket lapels, threw back my shoulders, and marched past the gentleman's shiny black coach and into the shop that should have been mine. The entrance was as far as I got. The familiarity of my surroundings pinched my heart. The rich scent of polished wood mingled with the subtle tang of metal. The myriad tick-tocks, which irritated so many customers after mere minutes inside, summoned a well of memories. The individual rhythms sounded chaotic when placed in one room together, but they reassured me that all would be well, that I had come home. It had been 2 weeks since I'd heard their song, 2 weeks since I'd stepped inside the shop, 2 weeks since Father died. It was time. Nothing had changed inside. The countertop stretched across the back, as sleek as ever. Behind it, the door to the workshop was closed. I recognised every clock hanging on the walls and set out on the tables, and all the glass display cabinets seemed to be filled with the same watches, from the inexpensive open-face variety to those with elaborately designed silver cases, known as hunters. Even Father's ancient tortoiseshell and ormolu still ticked to its unique rhythm. But no one had bothered to correct it. It was 3 minutes slow. "I'll be with you in a moment," Eddie said without looking up from the watch he was showing the gentleman. Such poor shopkeeping. One should always make eye contact with every customer. A warm smile and a pleasant greeting never went amiss either. I was, however, glad that he hadn't seen me immediately. "Excuse me, sir," I addressed the back of the customer's dark head. He did not turn around, but I didn't let that stop me. "Excuse me, sir, but unless you wish to finance a liar and swindler, you should not purchase a thing from this man." Eddie glanced up with a gasp. The colour leached from his face. "India," he spluttered a hasty, "excuse me," to his customer and rounded the counter. Arm out to usher me to the door, the colour flooded his face as quickly as it had left it. "How lovely of you to visit me here, but as you can see, I'm rather busy. I'll call on you later, my dear." I ducked beneath his arm, turned so that I could keep him in my sight and back toward the counter. I wanted to see Eddie's face turn ruby red as I informed his customer of his despicable behaviour. "I am not your dear anymore, and I cannot believe that I ever wanted to be. I used to consider him handsome, with his blonde curls and blue eyes, and I'd once thought myself fortunate that he'd chosen me as his bride. My gratitude had been smashed to pieces along with my future 2 weeks ago. Now I thought him one of the ugliest men I'd ever seen." "India!" He lunged for me, but I was ready for him and stepped behind the table holding the collection of small mantel clocks. "Come here at once!" When I didn't, he stomped his foot on the floor like a spoiled child not getting his way. I gave him a tight-lipped smile. "If you want me to leave, you will have to catch me first." He glanced past me to the gentleman, who must have been quite stunned by my shocking behaviour. I didn't care what he thought. I'd always been known as the prim and proper daughter of Elliot Steele,